It's the final day of BC Museums Week 2021, and we are here with another BCMA podcast. The final day of BC Museums Week this year explores how museums can take action to make change in their community. And no one knows more about museums in their community than Spencer Stewart. Spencer Stewart is the project manager and principal researcher for the BC Museums Portrait Project. The Portraits Project seeks to define the boundaries of collecting, clarifying, and examining the institutional memory of BC's museums. In addition to project managing portraits, Spencer provides advisory services to private collectors as well as institutions, aiding in the design and execution of collections development, inventories, catalogs, and collections appraisals, as well as deaccession strategies. Spencer is joining us today to talk about his experience through the BC Museums Portrait Project and discuss how museums and smaller communities across the province are having an impact in their community. Join us. Spencer, tell me a bit about yourself.
I started in art history, and that was done in Canada at Carleton University, and it took me abroad to London. But during that time, I also spent a lot of time doing coursework around museums and archives and some of the theories and ideas around those practices, the development of museums as institutions. And so it's been something that's been of interest to me for many years now, and something that we're exploring through this work with the BC Museum Portraits Project.
You've now been for more than a year, if I remember correctly, traveling BC, talking to different museums for the BC Museums Portrait Project. Tell me a bit about the origins of this project.
Yeah, the idea came out around, starts with a background and an interest in the history of museums and museum practice, and specifically around the institutional memory that is bound up in museums, how they start, and how people involved in museums impact, influence, and shape the collecting practices of a given institution. From my educational background, I started out with a project in undergraduate that was called Project Naming, and it had to do with photograph repatriation of images that were in the NFB archives of Inuit communities. And the project was to take these photographs out of those archives, get them in the hands of students at Nunavut Sivanuksovut, who went on to speak with elders about people in the photographs, because these photographs were, they were in the archives, but there were no names connected to them. And through taking these images out of the archives and having these conversations, history started to come out from documents that were taken in one context and were enlivened through conversations. And so this is really an inspiration that I take into this discussion, the discussions I have with curators through the Portraits Project, is how new museum practitioners with new approaches and ideas about museums are taking collections that were collected under one kind of ideology or approach to museums, which was much more of a kind of institutional separated situation to that of the community, and how that kind of translates into a dialogue with the people in the community and various members, and how that makes it more of a diverse story. And so that's really the inspiration here, is how do the various communities within BC enact this transition of the holdings that they have in their collections, and how they're quite unique in the various manifestations that they take.
And I think what I find really interesting about the museum sector, not just in BC, but across Canada, is you often find museums in really small communities in a way that you don't find other types of cultural institutions, that even tiny communities often have either a heritage organization or a museum. What role do you think museums play in small communities?
I think they reflect the attitudes of a particular time. And so you see a shift that happens sometimes where maybe a museum is formed around the anniversary of the town itself or the province, or it's something that starts through a historical society of volunteers that slowly starts to build up. And then someone is maybe hired on as a professional to take care of the collection and create programming and maybe bring in some other exhibitions from elsewhere. But what happens is I think they are really incubators of what are the various stories that they want to see reflected within the communities. And I think that from having conversations with museum professionals through this project, there was very much a focus in some of the anniversary museums of a focus on settler histories. And there's a transition that's taking place of wanting to start to really look at the diversity of the communities within all of these towns. And that's changing the way that the museum presents itself to the community. There are initiatives throughout the province right now to open up and take in stories and really develop a trust and a dialogue between the people within the communities and various populations that were underrepresented within the past of museums, and really to try and bring in, enrich the stories of the present, which I think is really very much the impulse and the impetus of the present within a lot of the communities in BC.
And through the BC Museums Portraits Project, you've had the ability to now visit quite a few museums in BC. I was wondering if you could talk a bit about some of the museums you've been able to connect with so far, and how you're seeing these collections in smaller communities evolve to better reflect the communities that they're a part of.
We set out and started to put together the various portraits, myself and photographer Tayu Hayward, in January of 2020. And of course, given the situation that's happened with COVID in March of 2020, it's somewhat slowed down the visits, but we've gotten a chance to do 22 visits at this point, six of which have been virtual. And it's true, through conducting these visits and speaking with museums, one of the things I have been noticing is that museums and curators are starting to change the way that they relate. They're no longer, as I said, a monologue, but it's more of a dialogue with the communities. And items within the collection that were perhaps collected maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, curators and directors are asking questions of those objects. What stories are they telling? Who are the people that they reflect within the community? Is this the entirety of the community? And does it illustrate those particular people? And I think what's interesting is to see, I think of something like the Museum of Surrey, where, you know, inviting communities in during the process of building exhibitions. I think that's something that's also happening just within the province quite a bit, of starting to see exhibitions or the creation of exhibitions as opportunities to reach out and activate the community itself. And so there's almost a turning out of the institution, which is really an interesting process and one that is ongoing and continues to develop. Another one I think of is the Port Moody Station Museum with the trunks that they use that have items in them from the collection, but activate a narrative of migration, which ultimately expands into conversations about that region and about transience. And so those are just a couple of examples that just come to mind off the top of the head. But in every community, there's an inflection on this approach.
You know that this is happening across multiple communities. Do you think that is a conscious choice that's being made by museums to actively try to engage with more of their community? Or do you think that is reflective of broader societal shifts and trends?
Yeah, I think it is. It's very much a conscious shift that's taking place. It's an attempt to enrich the histories of these places and to also connect with the the ongoing process of reconciliation, of becoming aware of the holdings that are in these collections and how these collections at certain points worked to reflect maybe singular narratives, but that through taking them out and asking questions, activating them, they can expand and open out into larger conversations about the history of these places and some of the difficult conversations that need to take place around this process. And so I think that that's something that's influencing this shift and this change in programming. And then also a transition that's happening in these various local communities as industries change and as populations change and as people come into the communities who are curious about what are the stories of these places. At the same time, I think there's also a transition that's happening where there's a shift from exhibitions that were maybe more passive and were not turning over on a very regular basis, where maybe open storage style exhibitions are being activated by museum theory and museum practice that tries to get them connected as living documents, as things that are completed by visitors coming into the spaces with their own stories, assumptions, and ideas. And what are the possible opportunities for learning and enrichment of the stories of a community in that interaction between these historical objects and places and the people of the present who have their stories as well. And that's something that's also changing the practice of being a curator or a museum director at this point in time.
And in your travels, you're not simply visiting museums, you're talking to curators, as you noted. What kinds of trends are you noticing in those conversations with curators and museum directors?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of initiatives that are taking place that I see coming up in the conversations as we've been talking about before. Connecting with the community, reaching out, seeing the museum less as a place that just transmits information or a kind of solid monolithic narrative, but is more a place of exchange of ideas and a place where you can come to actually talk about the future of communities, which is, I think, an interesting change or alteration of the institution of the museum. There's an active attempt to take a look at the collecting practices of the past. What were some of the behaviors and approaches, and what were some of the general assumptions of that type of collecting? Was it focused particularly on the settler narrative? What are some of the items in that collection that don't perhaps connect to the actual story of or the narratives of the local community? But doing a cataloging of these collections, of getting a sense of what are the items that the museum has, and actually activating them in the digital space as well as in exhibitions and more themed exhibitions. So I think there's much more of a kind of a play that seems to be happening now. Ideas of traveling collections, of cross-pollination of ideas from various regions. That's something that I've been noticing as an interest, as something that is an aspiration of a lot of museum professionals in the area at the moment. And also extending a hand out to the community to start to help develop the collections and exhibitions of the future. Something that I've been noticing in talking with various people in the museum sector is that there's quite a bit of stuff from the turn of the century, but there's not a lot from the recent past. And so one of the ways that I think a lot of these professionals are trying to engage with communities is to have conversations, have people come in and talk about what are the goings on in the community. We're in a time where there's a transition into the digital, and I think there's an assumption that things are being saved, and in fact, they're maybe more ephemeral than they ever have been. And so that has ramifications to the present memory of some of the transitions that are happening in these communities. So that's another thing that I think that's on the minds of professionals, or a common theme that seems to be coming up in the conversations that I'm having.
And it's interesting that your project was started before COVID and has continued throughout COVID. I wonder, have you noticed how the conversations you're having with curators and directors, has it changed? Have you noticed new concerns, new trends? Have you seen the impact of COVID in those conversations?
Quite a few of the people that I've spoken with, they've enacted projects of one form or another to create a kind of COVID archive. And I think that these are really interesting opportunities to engage with people in the community. And obviously, for the immediate moment, to stay connected, but also to change the practices of gathering stories about people in the community. So that will be really interesting to see how those take shape and how those, for the particular moment, maybe change the way that curators and executive directors are thinking about programming. I think another thing that's going to probably go underway after, when it is more safe to be in enclosed spaces with groups of people, is an interest in coming back together as communities from this prolonged time of social distance or physical distance and social distance. And I think that's something that is changing the conversation. Another thing that's happening is that I'm seeing, especially online, because a lot of the initiatives and the communication are taking place there, is that museum professionals are going back into the collection, bringing things up and posting them online, posting stories and making connections in that way. And I think that was from the conversations I was having with professionals prior to COVID. This was something that was ongoing and was getting developed more and more in various ways. And this was really a time that allowed people to focus on this very, very specifically, to see how objects within the collections can activate a multitude of conversations about the history of a place.
This interview is going to air during BC Museums Week 2021. And the theme for this year's BC Museums Week is around museum action. So actions that museums can take to remain relevant, to build a stronger community bond, to be the leaders in things like climate change or justice, equity, inclusion, and diversity. In your conversations, what kind of actions are you seeing small museums take to remain relevant in their communities?
I think the overall approach to programming that starts with conversations with community members to ensure that the stories that are being represented at the museums reflect the diversity of the communities in these towns and in the surrounding areas of the museums. I think that's that shift, that transition that's taking place and has been underway, I think is really effective in enacting social change and thinking about museums in a way that disrupts conventions of a museum as being a kind of monologue, a set narrative, single objects that illustrate a bigger idea. That these are objects that are within a place, that are connected to people, that also have stories as well. And how do those come together and mix together and enrich one another?
So what's next for the BC Museums Portraits Project?
As I mentioned, we've done some site visits in and around times that it was safe to do during the period of COVID. And we're going to continue to do some site visits. The objective is with this project is to create an archive of the institutional memories of institutions throughout British Columbia. And the target for it is roughly about 150 of those institutions within the province. It's about half of the institutions within British Columbia, and specifically focusing on museums and archives, so object collections and document collections. And so what's next is to continue to reach out to museum plan trips that allow us to visit several museums during the day. We've been able to stay within the Lower Mainland, but want to expand outwards into the various communities throughout British Columbia. So what's next is to just continue to build up the archive and start to get in touch with institutions and professionals further afield within the province. And so, we're hoping that end of May, beginning of June, some of the travel restrictions will be a different situation. It'll be safer to do some site visits and just continue to apply for funding to keep this program going. The idea is that it's something that can be updated and changed as the stories of these institutions change as well, as they go and shift from maybe historical societies from their early origins that were volunteer-based into museums with professionals who are setting up certain programs to activate the collections and these and the institution as a real hub, as a cultural center for these communities throughout British Columbia. So what's next is to continue speaking with people in the sector and getting those stories out there about the history of the collections and where they want to go with the development of those collections and how they connect with the communities.
And if the people who are listening to this would like to participate in the BC Museums Portraits Project, what's a way they can get in touch with you?
They can send a direct email to myself. It's on the site, but it's spencerwstewart@gmail.com. And another way to support is through donations. We're putting together applications for grants, but it's, as I mentioned, it's a long-term project, and any support that we can receive to keep the project going and be able to dedicate the time to conducting site visits, interviews, post-production, and editing of the photographs that are generated helps to enrich the project and keep it going. I think to conclude is to get in touch, and I look forward to speaking with everyone and continuing on this project.
Thank you so much for your time today, Spencer. A link to the BC Museums Portraits Project playlist will be available in the description of this podcast, and we really encourage people to check out the great work you've been doing.
Ryan, thank you very much for having me.